And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. You know, I actually gave you some misinformation yesterday. I think I said yesterday was the 44th anniversary of my accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But actually, it's today. It's December 22nd. Yesterday was the 21st. I got ahead of myself. But this is the day. This is the day. So really, I'm 44 years old. Really. You know, in real spiritual time. And I'll never forget that day. And it's interesting. It was obviously 3 days before Christmas, but I think it must have fallen on like a Thursday because I went to church that following Sunday. So wonderful. So this day holds a great deal of meaning for me. And it is 3 days before Christmas. And true to form, I have done no shopping. I have not gotten a Christmas tree. I have not hung a single decoration. What about you? Are you doing any better than I am right now? Of course, in those places where you can't leave your home, that's a little bit difficult to do. Places where you have these unconstitutional lockdowns and you're putting people on house arrest. Do you know that the COVID situation has gotten no better in California, and Newsom intends to have people locked down, I think, for another 3 weeks and perhaps extend the time that people are going to be locked in their homes. I think these people are just getting very sick kicks out of exercising that kind of control over people's lives. I think that's all this boils down to. I don't think there's anything else. If you are doing this and you don't see improvement, then it seems to me that common sense would say, well, this is not working. We've got to do something else. This is causing a lot of pain and suffering. This is hurting a lot of people, but it's not improving our COVID numbers. So obviously, we need to look for another approach. Oh, no. No, 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 no. If at first it doesn't work, keep working it. And if it just keeps getting worse, just keep doing it. Einstein's theory that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. The problem is that the people of California and other states across this country are the victims of the insanity. It's one thing when you're butting your head up against a brick wall because you're insane and the only person being bloodied is you. But these people are bloodying the heads of millions of Americans who are losing their businesses, losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their livelihoods. And it's unconscionable, folks, that this is happening. But nevertheless, look, I am not exaggerating when I say this, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or anything like that. I really do believe that there are some people in this world who just get a sick thrill out of controlling the lives of other people. And the more, and I'm talking about politicians in this case, not just, you know, criminals, although some of these politicians really are criminals, but nevertheless, I'm talking about politicians who, the more pain and suffering they inflict, I think the more they like it. It's they're turned on by it on some level. And, you know, you watch them. You remember how Governor Whitless, was she in Michigan? Remember how her attitude about people saying, you don't have a right to do this, this is wrong, and the way she said, just go home. You don't have anything to say. You know, no sense of, well, you know, look, let's review this. Let's consider this. We don't want to inflict more pain on people than COVID is inflicting. Oh, no. Just arrogantly dismissive of any questions or objections that anybody has. Sadly, we keep electing these kinds of people to public office, and we meaning those folks who vote for them. Thank God I don't. The last time I made a mistake like that was when I voted for Jimmy Carter. I've I have long since repented. I've been forgiven for it, and I will never make that mistake again. A friend of mine in ministry said that he drove all night long to get home to vote for Jimmy Carter because he wanted to vote for a born-again Christian to be president because he thought that that was going to really have a tremendous impact on the country. And he said he has regretted that long night's drive and the vote taken the following morning for the rest of his life. I know exactly how he feels. I've never made that mistake since, however. So yeah, this stuff is just really getting completely out of hand. And you know what I thought, silly me, that with the vaccine rolling out, that all these folks would begin to back off and say, well, you know what, actually, we can, now that the vaccine's coming out, let's back off here. Let's go slow. Let's watch this very carefully. Let's not impose these draconian rules on people. But no, 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 they have not slowed down. In fact, I keep hearing the mouthpieces for these leftists saying, just because you get the vaccine doesn't mean you should take off the mask. It doesn't mean you shouldn't social distance. And by the way, it's not social distancing. It's unsocial distancing. It's physical distancing. It's very social distancing. The euphemisms people come up with. But yeah, you still have to wear the mask and you still have to social distance and you still have to stay home. Well, then what is the point of the vaccine? You would think, wouldn't you? Now, here again, I want to know what you all think about this. But wouldn't you think that when a person's had the vaccine, and presumably at that point they are now immune from getting COVID, that you'd say you can take your mask off, and when you talk to people and they say, well, why aren't you wearing a mask? You can say, I've had the vaccine. I don't have to wear the mask anymore. You should have the vaccine too. I mean, wouldn't you think? But oh, no. Wear the mask, social distance, stay home, don't go out, don't travel. And you think, well, why would anybody be encouraged to get the thing if nothing really changes as a result? And they say, well, because things are not going to improve until we have the whole country vaccinated. Yeah, but still, haven't they improved for the person who's gotten the vaccination? Or no? Or are we wrong about that? Presumably they've improved for that person, and presumably that person now is not going to spread it and is not going to get it. So why are you imposing all the same rules on them? I don't get that point. When they could be a testament to the effectiveness of the vaccine. But instead you've got even the people who have the vaccine still hiding behind a mask, locked up in their home, can't go out, can't go shopping, can't go to dinner, can't do anything. It doesn't make a bit of sense to me, folks. It doesn't make a bit of sense to me. But then again, none of this has made sense to me. I think this whole thing at the state and local level has been grossly mismanaged in many jurisdictions, and it has been ideological. The people who love power, the people who lurch toward totalitarian control over the lives of people, they are the ones who've imposed the draconian rules. I'm going to save lives by turning you into my slave. Well, thank you very much. Oh, what a thrilling prospect that is. And the people who are believers in freedom, in personal liberty, have been the ones to say, you know what, we're not doing mandates. We're not ordering people around. We don't have the authority to do that. But what we're going to do is provide the very best information we can and the very best recommendations we can and educate people as best we can and believe them to be responsible enough to make their own decisions. You know, it's worked, frankly, for almost a quarter of a millennium. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, it is estimated that Charles Wesley wrote over 6,500 hymns, perhaps his best-known hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Over the years, it has been edited slightly, but the meaning and theology remains as he wrote it more than two centuries ago. It begins with a proclamation of the birth of Jesus. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The hymn reminds us why Christ came to earth. Jesus came into the world to bring peace, but many who sing this song fail to realize that it was to bring peace between us and God. Wesley's hymn reminds us that his birth was so that God and sinners could be reconciled. We are the sinners in this hymn, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have broken God's commandments and need to be reconciled with God. This was done when Christ died for our sins. This hymn by Charles Wesley goes on to describe who Jesus Christ is. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. This is the wonder of the incarnation. Jesus became the offspring of the virgin's womb. God became man and was veiled in flesh, even though he was the incarnate deity. This Christmas week, let us all once again reflect upon the incarnation, how wonderful yet mysterious that God would become man and dwell among us, and that he would be willing to die on a cross for our sins. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Brian Fisher here. The coronavirus is mutating in England. What does that mean? The swamp is back. Congress gets 6 hours to read a 5,000-page bill. Congress chops funding for the agency that keeps our border secure. Things are neck and neck in Georgia, and election conservatives must win. And guess what the Bee Gees blame for the death of disco? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, you all know that Virginia has been taken over by a bunch of communists, right? Well, communists with a small c. They're not card-carrying members of the Communist Party, but they're Marxists through and through, including our governor, Governor Ralph Northam. And while he's busy imposing all these draconian rules on us with regard to COVID, he's also, with the legislature, passed some other rules. And I was just reminded of this morning. As of January 1 in Virginia, you will be fined up to $250 if you are spotted by the police holding your telephone. Now, you don't need to be texting it. You don't need to be looking at it. You don't need to be making a phone call on it. Holding it is now a punishable offense, which will allow the police to stop you if you're driving the speed limit, if you're breaking no traffic rules, but you have the phone in your hand. You could be stopped if the police spot you. So now they're getting away from trying to spot whether you're texting or not. They don't care. You cannot hold the phone in your hand while you're in the car. Now, you may criticize me for having some bad driving habits, but generally speaking, I drive with one hand. I mean, not that I never put two hands on the wheel, but I'm sure all of you who are experienced drivers probably sit sometimes and you put your one hand on your armrest and you have the other hand on the steering wheel, particularly if you're driving the highway and the traffic is good and, you know, you're just cruising along. And I often rest my phone on my armrest And sometimes I will pick the phone up, not to look at it necessarily, but maybe to move it out of my way, or if the phone is in the if I've dropped the phone in that little area where they used to have a cigarette holder, which we don't have. I don't think I have. Well, maybe I do, but obviously I don't smoke. But whatever that little area is in front of the armrest, might drop it in there. You might move it out of the way because maybe you're looking for your sunglasses or you're looking for your mask. You know. Now, to hold your phone. See, this is the left. This is their idea. It's not enough to say to people, don't text, okay? And to do an education program, don't text while you're driving. And it's not a good thing to do. I'll admit that. Now, let me just give you the data. We've had over 800 people killed in fatal accidents this year in Virginia. And of those over 800 people, 120 of them were found to have been doing something with their phone. Now, nobody really can know in most cases whether they were texting. In some cases, you might be able to trace it back and see if they were texting just before the accident happened. Yeah, you can do that. But in many cases, it's impossible to know exactly what was going on while the person was on the telephone, or whether the person being on the telephone or doing something with the telephone is what caused the accident. That's the point. It can be very difficult to learn that. 120 died while doing something with the phone. Now, here again, nobody can know for sure whether that was the cause of the accident or not. Now we're going to turn this into a crime. See, because of the nature of our country, what the government should be doing in a case like that, where they say, we want to save lives, we want to help people be safer on the road, both the person driving and the others who are around that person, pedestrians and other drivers, we're going to do a massive education program. We're going to get volunteer organizations involved. We're going to get churches involved. Ask churches to encourage their members to be safe on the road. Nothing required, just a request, just a recommendation through all the institutions that influence people. If I got a letter from the government saying, we're trying to save lives on the road, and sometimes people using their phones on the road can create a very hazardous situation for them and for others, would you encourage your congregation to please do not text and drive, to please do not use your phone or to put your phone on a mount if you're going to use it, and if you have it, to use voice controls, and if you've got to dial or you got to do something like that, to pull over and do that. It's going to be better for you, your family, and others around you. It's not a demand. It's not a threat. It's not you're a criminal if you don't. This is a recommendation. I think most people would say, that makes sense. That makes sense. And we'll just do it voluntarily. But no, that's not enough. We're going to fine you $250 if we catch you with the phone in your hand. See, this is the nature of these, the thinking of these people. It's totalitarian in nature. We've got to control people. We've got to force people. We've got to make people. We've got to punish people. And my goodness gracious, the American people are not stupid. And when we are intelligent enough to make good decisions for ourselves and our families, not that we can't make mistakes, of course we can, but so can the government. And they do it all the time. So what in the world makes them think that somehow life would be better if they take control? And yet that's what we have. Now that's just an example, because the way this COVID thing is being handled, it's just indicative of that same mindset. Now, there are several sheriffs around the country. One out in California said, I will not enforce these lockdown rules. Because, when you're locked into your house, presumably what they're really expecting is that if you're outside, the police see you, they have a right to question you. Why are you out? I mean, what is this? Soviet Russia? The Third Reich? Let me see your papers. this ought to be abhorrent to most Americans. That I say, no, we're not living that way. We will find another way to deal with this communist Chinese Wuhan virus, but we will not turn ourselves into slaves. We will not learn to be completely obedient and compliant no matter what irrational rules, laws, regulations our government tries to impose upon us to control us. We simply won't do it, and we're not going to support any politician who thinks that they're going to treat us that way. I hope that that's the conclusion that ultimately all the American people come to. I hope all these people that the Democrat Party and the left is trying to indoctrinate to buy along or to buy into their totalitarian impulses will awaken from that lethargy, that sleep, and say, wait a minute. I know you all have probably heard me say this before, but it's something that just keeps resonating with me. You know, the left is always talking about slavery. They want us to relive slavery. They want us to have it fresh in our minds. They want us to act like it just happened yesterday, and we're all either victims of it or we're all guilty of being slave masters. Now, I was not a slave, and I know everybody in the sound of my voice was never a slave master. But the left wants us to treat each other and think of each other that way. They want to divide us and have us up in arms about this is what happened, and as a result of that. I mean, as a result of that, I don't know. I don't know what to say as a result of that. As a result of that, I brush my teeth a certain way. I mean, Lord have mercy. But the fact of the matter is, socialism is nothing but a glorified slave system. That's all it is. And you know, in that sense, the Democrat Party has not changed. And I know there are people who are members of the Democrat Party who don't go along with this stuff and really don't share that view of life, but for whatever reason, they're still a part of it. But it's these elites. It's these, we are better than the rest of you. It's these rules for thee, but not for me, people. They'd turn us all into slaves if they could. I mean, you think about how Google and Facebook and Twitter manipulate people. I've been off of Twitter for a year and a half because I tweeted something about the killings in Sri Lanka and said that Christians might, this guy Andy Fox, because I remember it quite well, had said that, you know, Christians in Sri Lanka were not evangelizing properly and they were not, you know, there was something a little bit underhanded about the way they were evangelizing, and implying, therefore, that, you know, the Muslims had a right to go in and kill these people in their churches. And I said, you may not like the way Christians are evangelizing, but Christians aren't going and killing people. I said, it's Muslims that are doing that. And Twitter took me off. I mean, these people have a totalitarian mindset. They want to control everything and everybody because they think they know best. And we the American people, have just got to tell them, no. No, we are the sovereigns of this country, not you. So thank God for these sheriffs who have said, I'm not enforcing these laws. We're not spending our time harassing law-abiding citizens because you walked out of your house when you're supposed to be locked down or because, you know, you're driving down the road and I spotted a phone in your hand. I mean, come on. We're not doing that. Well, folks, I'm going to start taking your calls when we get back. There are a couple of other issues I would raise. And Merry Christmas, everybody. You want to talk about Christmas? That's a great subject. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back many years ago, there were 12 men who shared a common bond. They joined themselves together for what they considered a great cause. It was, indeed, a revolutionary idea they had. it was also a revolutionary leader that they followed. With no weapon more powerful than a great cause, they set out to conquer the world. They carried no swords. They asked no material benefits. They expected to be scorned and ridiculed by the masses wherever they went. Yet from the very beginning, they never swerved, never parted from that great cause to which they had pledged themselves. Lest we forget the impact of that cause upon those men, lest we forget what bound them together, lest we forget what was more powerful than the sword that they refused to carry, we need to remember what happened to those 12 men. One was named James. He was the brother of the leader of the 12. Another was also named James. He had a father who was named Zebedee. These two men carried the cause into the streets of the city where their group was meeting. Both men were met by angry mobs and were murdered because of their cause. Another man among the 12 was named Matthew. He had been a man of wealth prior to joining the cause and gave up financial security in order to become a member of the 12. He carried the cause to a little country called Ethiopia. There he was slain on a sword. He died for the cause. Philip was another of the 12. He came from a little city called Bethsaida, meaning the house of the fisher or the house of the hunter. He went fishing and hunting for men for the cause. He was hanged in Phrygia. Bartholomew was the unlikely name of another. Because of the cause, his skin was ripped from his body while he was still alive. Andrew, with his Greek name, was another of those pledged to the cause. He was crucified in Achaia. The cause deserved all he had. Thomas, often criticized for his doubts, left no doubt as to his loyalty to the cause. He carried it to East India, and there he was run through with a lance. Another was named Thaddeus. He was sometimes referred to as the other Judas. He gave it his all before he was shot to death with arrows. He was buried, legend says, in Beirut. There was Simon, a member of the Jewish Nationalistic Party, ready to die for his country against the hated Romans. Instead, he died for his cause. Like his leader, he was crucified. Persia was the place of death. Peter, perhaps the best known of the men, got as far as Rome with the cause. There, he too was crucified. His request was to be crucified upside down. He did not consider himself worthy to die as his leader did. There was also Matthias, selected to fill the place of the one who betrayed the leader. He paid dearly for his decision to follow the cause. He was beheaded. The other of the men was named John. He was the brother of James, the son of Zebedee. He alone escaped death because of the cause. And still, someone says, the Christian faith is free.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Speaking of this totalitarian spirit, this impulse that is running through the land these days, this doctor, Dr. Jane Orient, who is the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, they are opposing mandatory vaccinations. And as a result, they are being absolutely vilified, excoriated, slandered as nutcases, conspiratorial thinkers, they're being called. Highly educated, highly experienced physicians and surgeons who are saying, well, wait a minute, not so fast with the mandatory vaccine. They're not opposing the vaccines altogether, but they're saying no one should be ordered by the government to be at risk of illness from taking a vaccine, the long-term effects of which we do not know. Now, people can voluntarily take it if they want to. They can take that risk upon themselves, but no one should be ordered to do it. Here again, here's the totalitarian impulse. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, these types are just going ballistic. And look, they're not just saying, well, we think these people are wrong, and therefore we disagree, and here's some people who have made clear their disagreement. And No. What they're saying is they should not be heard. They should not be heard, period. Chuck Schumer said, at such a crucial time, giving a platform to conspiracy theorists to spread myths and falsehood about COVID vaccines is downright dangerous and one of the last things Senate Republicans should be doing right now, because they're Senate Republicans who want to hear from this doctor and her organization. You know, when did we become a country that is afraid to hear opposing views? When did that happen? You all remember the famous mantra that Americans were so proud to say, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. That's gone. Now, I don't agree with what you have to say, and therefore I will cause your death to stop you from saying it. That's the mantra today. Deplatforming is the name that's been used for it. Deplatforming. In other words, we're not going to give you any way to speak or to be heard because we don't agree with what you've got to say. Since when did they come to think of Americans as being so, I don't know, so incapable of managing their own affairs? When did that happen? See, if you really respect the American people, then you know that every individual, every family is just as intelligent as you are. They know more about their own life circumstances and their values and the things that are important to them than you do, because they're living their lives. You're not. So why in the world do these bureaucrats think they can step in and tell you what's best for you? It's a truly arrogant mindset, and we know where it's led, right? We know where it's led. Because once people get this idea in their head that they've got the answer to everyone's needs and all they've got to do is just impose this system and everyone will just be wonderful, folks, that always ends in one place, at the point of a gun. You're not going to stop me from doing all these great things for people, and you're in the way. So lock him up. Lock her up. Put a bullet in their head, because they don't need to be heard. They don't need to be around to interrupt the building of the utopia that we have in mind. And that's what communism has done. That's what Marxism has done everywhere it's been tried. So, no thank you. I was saying to someone I was talking to earlier today, it's interesting to me that the people who have escaped that stuff, the people who have gotten out of countries where socialism has taken over, the Venezuelans, the Cubans, and people from Eastern European countries where they've had to endure that, those people can't stand the Democrat Party. They're scared out of their wits of the direction these Democrats are taking. Because they've seen it close up and personal. They've watched it evolve in their own countries and saw the destruction that it created. And they say, oh my goodness, we don't want that here. And yet they see a party that is heading headlong down that road. And Americans often just are oblivious, just can't see it, when it's really as plain as the nose on our faces if we would just look. You know, Ronald Reagan used to say, never be afraid to see what you see. Well, how right he was. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Sandy in Texas. We got open lines, folks. 888-589-8840. Sandy, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm sitting here in a parking lot of an urgent care waiting to get a COVID test so I can see my daughter who's in a nursing home, which is so ridiculous. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is to give people hope, read Psalm 91, especially 91:3, which says, "For it is he who delivers you from the snares of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." And then Amen. On 91:6, it says, "You will not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness." I've been reading this book called Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection.
Amen. I love Psalm 91, too.
Yeah, it just gives you so much hope. And I've been praying for people that they would read Psalm 91 and stand on God's word. And that's what Amen. I wanted to call about.
Thank you, Sandy. That's a good word. That's a word in due season. Thank you for the call. Thank you, Sandy. God bless you. Doug in Oklahoma, welcome.
Yes, sir. I was talking about the verse 215, chapter 2, verse 15, and Song of Solomon. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines.
Spoil the vine. Mm-hmm.
For our grapes, our vines have tender grapes. And then, people are against having guns. They want to take guns away from the American citizen. But in chapter 3, verse 8 of Song of Solomon, every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. That means you have your weapon in your house to protect your family. But they were Amen. Protecting the King Solomon
Doug,
with their sword.
Doug, thank you so much for the call. You know, you reminded me that even Jesus told the disciples when he was about to go to the cross, he said, "Now take what you have and buy a sword." He was letting them know we have a right as Christians, as human beings, to defend ourselves, our homes, our families, our property. And you're right, but see here again, that takes us back to this totalitarian mindset, which is, no, we will control everything and everybody, and therefore you don't need to have a firearm because only the state can have those. See? And I think history has proved that that's one of the first steps toward totalitarianism. You take away people's ability to defend themselves so that they're completely dependent upon the government, and ultimately dependent upon the government for that and everything else. Thomas Jefferson said the government is big enough to give you everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. Back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
Christmas calls for Christmas music. Get it now with the AFR app.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Download the AFR app for free from your local app store and enjoy Christmas music from AFR all season long.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
You can do it 2 minutes. I call it 311, but take 3 minutes and there's an issue.
Dr. Kevin Lehman on Focus on the Family Minute.
Just hold hands, eyeball to eyeball. The rules are one person speaks for 3 minutes. Then the next person gets 60 seconds to sort of clarify what they heard. Then that next person gets a minute to say, well, no, that's not exactly what I meant. It's real simple. And it helps you get the feelings out. I love the example of a balloon. You remember when you blew it and then you took the neck of it and you made that terrible noise to bother your parents or your brother or your sister? When that stuff comes out in communication, it's not easy to listen to because your mate's telling you something that you really need to hear. But notice that the balloon goes down, and what's the odds of it bursting into a huge thing? Very little, because you've let some air out.
When issues come up, practice that 311 idea. More from Kevin at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we are only 3 days away from Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're prepared. I hope you're ready. I'm not. So you pray for me. but I will be ready when the day comes. I will have done everything I need to have gotten done. My wife will, believe me, she will take care of that. She will make sure that that's done. I've been with her 50 years. I know. Believe me. The number is 888-589-8840. Again, that's 888-589-8840. And we're taking your calls. So, one other quick thing. You know, with this totalitarian theme I've been on today, you know, bringing illegal immigrants in is really a part of that strategy, because here's the message to them. We'll take care of you. We will take care of you. All you've got to do is keep we communists in office, and we will take care of you. And, you know, that's always been the promise of communism and Marxism. We're going to take care of you. It's going to be fair. It's going to be equal. We're going to do good things for everybody. And it's always a big, bodacious lie. And what people get is the opposite of what they were promised. So it's all part of the same scheme, and we've got to stop it. And the only way we can stop it, like down in Georgia right now, make sure that those two communists running for office in Georgia, Warnock and Ossoff, don't get elected, because these people are, well, I mean, Warnock has said, he said he believes in Marxism. I mean, I'm not speculating or making accusations. He said he believes in Marxism, that it is important that Marxism to use Marxism to inform the church. Well, he mentions the black church in particular, but I'm sure he believes if it's good for the black church, it's probably good for all churches. Well, I just had Judd Nelson on yesterday. He was talking about the infiltration of the church with this stuff. So there's no institution in America that is not subject to be infiltrated with this stuff. And we Americans have just got to be on our guard and step up and speak up and stand up against this stuff. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's come to more of your calls. Let's go to Tommy in Georgia. Tommy, welcome.
How you doing, Bishop? Listen, I was just going to call you and tell you that I think this thing has been blew completely out of proportion, because we've had nurses to tell us that, you know, when a person was to die of a heart attack or something like that, they said they want to put it down as COBRA so the hospitals can make that $15,000. And so, you know, if it wasn't an election year, I don't think that thing would be like it is now. But they want so many people to have the fear that they have to call in for write-in ballots so that, yep, you know, they can do something with it. So I just
yep.
It just bothers me that America has turned it into this kind of position that we have to choose
to win elections, you know?
Well, Tommy, we've got to turn it back. That's all we can say. We've got to turn it back. But you're absolutely right. Everything is used for one purpose, and the purpose is to pull America toward a more Marxist society. And you're right, COVID's been used to say, well, we've got to send out ballots to everybody. And that's one of the things that we've got to put a stop to. Tommy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Maurice in Mississippi. Maurice, welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, Maurice, and you are too.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I am certainly so. My comment, and it's a couple of comments. Number one is for our state senators. You know, when they go to the in January 6th, when it goes to when they open the ballots, if one senator stands up and objects to the reading of the ballots, then it goes to the Congress, who makes the decision as to who's the president of the United States. And the comment I want to make to our state senators, are you going to be the one who's remembered in history as saving the republic? Or are you going to be the rest of the swamp monsters that go down?
Well,
all we need is one senator.
One senator in the United States Senate, you mean, right?
That's correct. In the
right,
United States Senate.
Yes. Yes.
Right. If one senator objects to the ballots that they are fraudulent ballots, then it goes to the Congress. They have to make that decision in Congress if there's an objection made to that. And one senator has to stand up. Now, the representatives may stand up, but one senator, and are you going to be the one who saved the republic? Is that going to be your legacy in history? And the second comment is, Mr. Biden's best out is to concede this election and to turn state's evidence, and that way he don't go to Gitmo and get his neck stretched.
All right, Maurice, thank you for the call, Maurice. Okay. Not a very Christmassy thought, but Merry Christmas to you, Maurice. Look, I'm not interested in stretching Biden's neck. I'm just interested in getting Biden, keeping Biden from going into the White House, because I think that Biden is bought lock, stock, and barrel by the Communist Chinese Party. So that's another issue. Maurice, thank you so much for the call, though. We appreciate it. And look, you know what, folks? I promise you, before we get to January 5th, I am going to do an extensive study and try to give you the definitive answers on exactly what can happen with regard to the Electoral College now that it's voted, what can happen to supersede that, okay? Because I think I'm hearing a lot of theories, and people are calling me and offering various scenarios. I'm going to do some research on it, consult with some experts on it, and give you the very best information about what the possibilities are now of seeing an egregious wrong righted now that it's already gone to the Electoral College and now it's going to hit to the Congress in order for them to approve the Electoral College vote. So stand by for that. Thank you for the call, Maurice. Let's go to Andrew in Ohio. Andrew, welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I didn't really have a comment to start with. I just always been trying to call in to the show. I kept getting a busy signal. You're very, very, very popular.
Well, that's kind of you, Andrew.
I just wanted to give you props. Between your show and airing the Addisons, if you guys are the only thing I get to listen to all day, I'm set.
Well, listen, I'm sure that the Addisons will be glad to hear that. I know I am. Anytime you can, listen to us 24/7, Andrew. But thank you so much for the call, and thank you for the compliment. We do appreciate it. Hey, Andrew, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday, and that next year is much better than 2020 was for you and for all of us.
Same for
thank
you.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. God bless you. Let's go to Judy in West Virginia. Judy, welcome.
Thank you very much. I hope you're having a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Good.
And your call makes it better.
My first comment is about all this stuff about the election. But I believe in my heart of hearts that Trump is going to win. I don't care what anybody else says, but I truly believe he's going to win. But in the event he does not win, God's still on the throne. And Amen. People have got to look to him for whatever comes, because he is the only one who's going to take us through whatever comes.
Well, Judy, I see it. Go ahead, Judy.
I know a lot of people around here, and they keep looking at me cross-eyed. It says, no, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm standing on. But I stand on Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
That's my center point. And I just want to thank the Lord for Christmas.
Amen.
What a precious time of year. The only problem with Christmas is we get so involved in buying presents, and I don't have a problem with it. I'm 76. I have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So it's exploded, and I told them this year, we're not doing it the way we always had. I bought a goat for each one for a family someplace and wherever they are who needs a goat through these organizations.
Judy, let me try to get a couple calls in here before I have to go. But thank you so much for the call. I said that your call made it better, and it did. Thank you so much, Judy. God bless you. Let's get Michael in Arkansas. Michael, welcome.
Yes, thank you. I saw a post on Facebook this morning that stated we have 153 million voters in the United States. There were 155 votes counted. If this is true, and I would like to hear your comment about it. If that's true, why is there not a judge that will even look at this? And that's my comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Michael, I agree with you. There have been jurisdictions documented where there were a certain number of registered votes and the votes counted were higher than the number of registered voters. How does that work? I think the reason why judges aren't touching it is because they're engaged in institutional protection of their own courts and jurisdictions, and they just don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to be the person who helped Donald Trump. And I think that's what this boils down to. Otherwise, I think that this past election would have long been declared null and void, and either a new election called for or this thing turned over to Congress, in which case President Donald Trump would continue for another 4 years. So we will see what happens. But, Michael, there are very few people who come along. Look, I've said this many times. Politicians generally and judges, as you know, are people who are selected because they've been involved in politics. So in a sense, even if they've never run for office, and many have, they're politicians too. They're not leaders. Politicians, generally speaking, now there are exceptions. Donald Trump's not a politician, but he's a leader. But generally, they're not leaders. They're bellwethers. They measure the temperature. They're thermostats. They're thermometers, not thermostats. They don't set the temperature. They simply measure it and then try to reflect it. And part of the problem that people have with Donald Trump is he's been a leader. He's going somewhere. He's trying to get something done. And that's exactly what Ronald Reagan said is the kind of leadership this country needs. And now we're potentially back to a politician. I'm going to agree with one of the callers who said, I still believe God's going to pull this thing out. And even if he doesn't, he's still on the throne. Folks, that's going to do it for today. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.